Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
The curse of the red-headed dead characters continues, or does it? We really hope it does. Hey there, Rooster Teeth fans. Welcome back to the Ruby After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we are talking about Volume 6, Episode 12, Seeing Red. We're going to be breaking down the episode and giving you all of our theories about what's to come, so stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
I can't wait till the end of the show for predictions. He did!
I really wanted to start with Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead, but we here, we do what we do.
It's in our hearts.
Maybe start with Celebrate Good Times in your head.
Yes, that too.
That's what we're here for tonight, guys. We're celebrating!
Yay!
Well,
they're thanking us for doing such a good job.
Well, careful down there.
Almost hit us.
Anyway, hey there, Rooster Teeth fans. Let's not waste any time. Let me go ahead and introduce my fantastic panel. I'm Megan Salinas, and to my left is Mark Dunica.
Where are we dropping, boys? That's all I got.
To his left, Stacey Shuttleworth.
Hello, hello.
To her left, Katie Cullen.
He's finally gone.
Yeah. Screw that guy. He's dead. Woo!
Bye, Felicia.
Well, we're going to be talking all about that in just a couple of minutes. Before we get started, we are going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag RTReviews. We've got you covered on the live chat. So, guys, we want to hear your thoughts on tonight's episode because there's a lot to unpack and there's a lot to be happy about. Some people are already leaving a lot of really fun pun-related things, if puns are your thing. A lot of people are leaving fun puns in the hashtag, so go check that out. And before we dip too far into the episode, we also want to remind everyone that we are adhering to the community guidelines as laid out by Rooster Teeth, which means that we are only discussing episode 12 for our recap tonight. We don't want any spoilers for next week. We don't want any spoilers for the finale. There are people who haven't seen, who don't have a First membership or who don't have a Verve account who have to wait for public release. So guys, please be courteous. Don't leave any spoilers in the hashtag. Don't leave them in the live chat. And do not leave them in any of the comments. We don't want to see them. Be courteous. Don't be that guy.
Hey!
I'm not kidding. I'll just ban people.
Yeah,
yes. I've had that kind of a day where I'm just gonna ban people.
Do not test this man.
Yeah.
So yeah, guys. This episode. What did we think? Let's start with Katie, and we'll come around the table.
I want to bring up a thing that came up in chat. Malachroma talking about Adam, who is dead. He had his lung punctured and fell into a bunch of water. He went the way of the meta. Which means that people are going to be questioning his death for the next 6 seasons, at least. I love fandom. You guys are wonderful. This was such a good episode. My God, the fight choreography, the emotion, the introduction of my new favorite Spinosaurus. I love all of this. And we named her before we started the show, yeah?
We'll talk about that when we get to it.
Yes. Very good. I liked it. More, please.
Stacey?
Man, this episode came in running, and it just kept going the entire time. I don't, like, there were so many moments where I thought I was, okay, this is the most exciting this episode is going to get. And then they just topped themselves. And we had some really cool fight scenes. And also more of, like, the leadership skills that we've been seeing develop, which are part of my favorite thing. And then, goodbye, Adam. We won't miss you.
I would say don't let the door hit you on the way out, but he definitely hit a couple things.
It totally did.
His neck rocks are not like doors.
Broken.
He is an ex-Adam. He is swimming with the fishes. He is singing with the choirs eternal.
Yep.
Mark, what did you think of tonight's
episode? I liked it. I forgot what I was going to say. Before we get too deep into it, though, we didn't necessarily have a prompt for art, But we want to thank... I totally forget who left this in the hashtag.
Jester's Chessboard.
Jester's Chessboard. Always one of our favorite artists. Left us this of the Quartermaster as... It's something that we talked about last week. We have the Quartermaster from Camp Camp as the giant mech that... So, Cordovan's in there somewhere, so presumably Cordovan has Quarter Sister too.
You know, I didn't need to think about that, so thanks.
I mean, hey, dude, who's to say she didn't get freaky?
For those of you listening on iTunes, we highly encourage you to check out the hashtag or switch it over to YouTube for a second so you can check out this fantastic artwork. Cannot say thank you enough to Jester's Chessboard because this brightened up my day. This was a complete
joy. And that's part of the reason why we started a little bit late, because we just saw this and had to get it into our into Josh in the engineer booth.
Yeah, so we wanted to share it with you guys because it's so good and it brought smiles to our faces. So we hope you guys enjoy it too. Thank you so much, Jester. You're the best. before we dig into the episode proper, we have a quick announcement for you guys.
Yes, we do. Before we move on to the first topic, we just wanted to say thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. For us to continue to grow, we could really use your help. So if you're on YouTube right now, hit that thumbs up button and subscribe. If you're on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating. And if you're listening on one of those two, go to the other one and do the thing for the other one. But no matter where you are, leave us a comment or reviews so that you can get involved in the conversation. And we've been a part of AfterBuzz TV for quite some time, and the community has always surprised us in the ways like fan art in the ways for it to get involved. So without your help, we wouldn't be where we are, and without your help, AfterBuzz TV can't continue to grow. So thank you very much, and we hope that you enjoy the rest of the show.
Yeah. Highly recommend subscribing if you haven't already done so. The Voltron after show is something where you can see some familiar faces here at this table. And we are going to be talking about the series finale in a couple weeks. So be sure to subscribe and stay tuned for all of that. I am loving the hashtag right now. It's pretty great.
Well, also, everybody in chat is now blind.
I just love Renji. Well, that was an interesting picture to walk into. Yes. Yes, it was.
Welcome to the show.
We adore our fan artist. It's so great.
Renji's a regular. He should know this already.
Pepsi Fan 24 says, crashes airship into Atlas. Kids are here. Oh, God.
I mean, if it's legit.
Completely changed the show, but Quartermaster is in Oscar's head instead of Ospin.
Oh,
fate worse than death, fate worse than death, fate worse than death.
For our audio listeners, I am doing a very large thumbs up at the camera.
Is that what happens if he wins the Tonti?
One could only hope.
Oh, gosh.
One could only hope.
If he wins the Tontine, he takes the place of the God of Light.
And also, listen, there's been a lot of Camp news the past couple of days. Let's just say I'm a little excited.
Yeah. We're very excited to be talking about Camp stuff soon.
I've been reprimanded by Mal twice in chat already. I feel pretty proud.
It's
been
a about good 5 minutes. It's all a good right. night.
Well, guys, we got to get the ball rolling. Speaking of one of my favorite things, giant robots. I love that we bring the episode starts off with Cordovan basically screaming at Maria, like, you couldn't just keep this grudge between the two of us. You had to rope in children. Like, she, in any way, shape, or form, is going to shame Maria in this moment.
I mean, Cordo had to rope in a giant robot, so really, who's the worst here?
Who's relying on a crutch here?
Well, not just that, but getting all of the citizens of Argus involved inadvertently, but still.
Yeah. Lexington says a Genlock crossover already.
Oh, we've been riding that wave ever since the giant robot appeared. Oh,
yeah.
For sure. Yeah, if you haven't already done so, check out Genlock. It's good. Guys, get yourself a first membership. We need to talk about it. Stacey, what did you think of this standoff?
Man, well, the fact that Cordovan is so focused on that and really does seem to think that that's what all of this is about. Like, still... She's so narrow-minded here in this moment.
It is so indicative of the type of ego that she has. She legitimately thinks that this was personally done to spite her. When in fact, it's like, no, we are dealing with the, like, entire realm of existence here, lady. We don't have time for your crap. But the gang, they regroup, and they have to come up with a plan in order to take down the robot. And thanks to Oscar's reconnaissance, they basically determine, hey, we can shut that robot down by staring exactly down the barrel of that giant cannon. Mm. And he volunteers.
Well, that was Oscar's inadvertent point. That's not what he meant.
That's not how he pitched
it. Clear.
Because it started as the rocket launcher pops out, take that out. Well, that Cordo Cotton's onto that, which I wasn't expecting, but I rather liked. I mean, she's egotistical and terrible, but she's not an idiot.
She made it to that position for a reason.
Yes.
We haven't, if there's ever any sort of a flashback, I'd, you know, see Prime Cordovan on the front lines of something. Maybe it's something that we'll hear about the Atlas military when we get there, if we get there. But it's, if when we get there. But I'd like to, there's no, I don't, she's not, yeah, she's not stupid.
Yeah.
There's still a tactician in there.
This was one of the first real indicators that maybe she isn't someone to be trifled with. Not necessarily because she does something as foolhardy as pull out a giant robot whenever she gets slighted, but more so that, oh, wait, she can actually use that pretty effectively, and she saw that coming. Oh, no.
It is possible that Atlas put her out to pasture a little bit, put her in a far, stationed her far away from the kingdom, because the fanaticism and the jingoism is a capital P problem, and you don't want that in delicate negotiations. But she made CO for a reason. So it's that really interesting, delicate balance of she's useful, but not right at this location. Let's put her way out there where she can be useful somewhere else.
See, at this point, I'm not sure that was necessarily the case.
Go ahead, Stacey. Yeah, well, because it does seem like this is actually a very important location to have battened down. And if they've got, I mean, we see pretty advanced technology for monitoring what's going on off the shores, even if it's just in passing right there. So she does have an extremely important position. And it was nice because we've seen her kind of as a blundering kind of caricature up to this point. So to see that glimpse of competence, I was like, okay, yeah, she is here for a reason.
Yeah. If anything, it's her subordinates that are the incompetent ones. We get that quick shot of all of the surveillance crew standing by the window, waving their arms and cheering while they're missing a huge, like, they're not actually utilizing their monitoring equipment. That's bad. You're not doing your jobs, guys. That's bad.
They're like, "Woo, Packers won the Super Bowl." And there's, you don't ever do that.
I will say, though, that given that level of competence that she displays here, there are a couple moments in this episode where I really feel like a sort of 80s style action one-liner could have been utilized. and I'm just thinking to myself, what sort of 80s action one-liner would have been really good for Cordova in that one moment?
Consider yourselves dusted.
Ooh.
Oh boy.
Stacey, any thoughts?
Oh god.
I wish I had a little bit more time to prepare. Jeez, I didn't know there was homework, Mom.
Improvise. Yes, and
looks looks like you just threw away your shot.
Ooh. But see, that's only funny to us because Hamilton. I don't know if Hamilton exists.
I assume a Hamilton analog exists within the world of Ruby, and I refuse to believe otherwise. Well, we'll marinate on that.
I just won't do it.
Tap it out. Yeah. I'll go ahead and
dab it out.
I'll assign you this when we send Adam on his way. I want everyone here to think of a one-liner to send off that character. So we'll put a pin in that. And we'll come back around to
We've
it.
We've never done one-liners.
I think you underestimate just how bad I am at one-liners.
Just pretend to be Arnold and say the first thing that comes to mind. Puns are better.
And you have to do it in the Arnold voice, too.
Welcome to Earth. I don't know. I got...
Nailed it. That's true.
We're not going to get a better send-off than that.
Your cashews won't save you now.
Would it be Welcome to Remnant?
Yeah.
No,
you can't.
No.
Okay,
no, Welcome to Earth is better.
No, it would be Welcome to Vale. Available for listening on Rooster Team Radio.
Plug, plug, plug.
That's what I'm here for. I'm in business mode right now. So, yeah, I've been all sorts of places anyway.
Charles Hawkenbury in chat says, eat my dust.
Ooh.
Fun, cool, one. fun, whose name I really like is You Will All Be Dust in the Wind. Lexington says, there's always homework, Mark.
That's not fair. I sprung this on everybody. Sorry.
And I want to bring up a point from VMR Wolfman. You know, all of this could have been avoided if Crow had just turned into a bird and flown to Ironwood. I doubt Atlas Border Control would have tried to stop some random crow. How fast do you think a bird flies? And how long is the distance to Atlas? Because I think that's an endurance test that Crow's not going to win. Like, it's a legit idea, but there's nowhere for him to land and rest on the ocean.
I'm just saying that that's what I've been saying this whole little mini arc that we've had this season. Just turn into a bird and get out of here. Although I will say that Crow actually does step it up, because Ruby, despite missing, actually does... She does probably the craziest thing I think we've ever seen her do, which is use her semblance to get right up in the barrel of this giant cannon and shoot it point blank. Holy cow, what the hell were you thinking, Ruby?
It also provides a very, very amusing screenshot of her head popping out of, like, the rose pedal, speed pedal thing. It's pretty silly. It's almost as silly as the freeze frame when they bolted in after Oscar back in town. But it's pretty silly.
Just the boop.
Yeah.
But Crow steps it up, because as she goes flying, because what the hell was that, he goes and he catches her. Katie, it looks like somebody in the live chat said something amusing.
God bless Cam Griffin. Is he an African or European crow?
Are you suggesting crows migrate?
I don't know how you knew that a Monty Python reference was the direct way to my heart, but well done.
You did one earlier, so you left it open.
Did I?
You did Dead Parrot.
Oh, that's right. I do that so often when characters die. It's just automatic at this point.
I was going to say, did you forget where it came from?
Look, it's been a very long day.
It has been. It's been a very long day for everybody. But so she does it. I will say, I feel bad for Maria. Her eye's shorting out. She doesn't actually get to see the carnage go down. She doesn't get to see the robot.
How much death do you think she's seen in her life where she could let a giant robot? I think it's more of witnessing a Cordovan being hoisted on her own petard. But it even so, if I'm missing a giant robot explode, that's a shame.
I'd be disappointed if I didn't get to see that.
Yeah. We haven't seen too many giant robots pulled out over here in the world of Ruby.
That's true. I'm pretty sure that as far as Ruby goes, we've only seen the one. So, yeah. Crow steps it up. He catches Ruby, and she has a nice little I told you so moment, which is super cute. But, you know, this is kind of a short-lived celebration, because what do we see? But, a giant Grimm heading directly towards Argus. And someone pick up that phone, because we called it.
Like, weeks and weeks ago, when this robot happened, it was, well, it's gonna freak out the city, and that many negative emotions are gonna send the Grimm running. So, yikes. And here we are.
Stacey, what did you think of the design of this Grimm?
I mean, we have to, yeah.
It's just the little arms.
Honestly, watching it kind of waddle out from the sea at first and then just fully stretch out and become this horrifying creature.
It's a little Spinosaurus with little arms. It's terrifying because of its scale, but there's some part of it that's just like, aww. You're derpy. Dumb. It's cute.
It was almost endearing at first, and then it, like, really unfolds, and you're like, oh, no, we're in trouble.
And then, well, yeah, that's, we, next episode territory is when we really get into...
Mark, what did you think of the design of the Leviathan?
I'm happy that they made it its own. They could have gone a little bit more... It seems like a mixture of Godzilla 2000, which in actual Godzilla canon is known as Zilla, which is a fake, like a clone, a bad clone of Godzilla, which the real Godzilla actually kills, which is an amazing... That's, I don't think anybody cares that that's a spoiler, but... It's no, cares that it's a spoiler. Oh, okay. Not
I was
cares.
Gonna say I care a lot.
No, but... I know. That's a lot of fish. But aside from it being a lot of fish, there I like how they really put their own stamp on it. It is a little Spinosaurus, it is a little Lizzie from Rampage. It's a little bit country, a little rock and roll. But it's a memorable thing, and it makes me terrified to think how many others will come in from Monster Island, really.
Yes. Oh my goodness!
Because there's a big island of Grimm somewhere where they all just kind of fight each other. Like, how is that not a possible thing?
King Ghidorah Grimm.
We'll get there.
I'm picturing like the legendary, like, you know how we got Godzilla King of Monsters coming out later on this year. I'm like picturing in my head the remnant equivalent of that. Now that you've put that in my brain, Mark, I need it.
And also thank everybody for the corrections. I don't know why I consider it 2000, but Godzilla, the American Godzilla, is from 1998. Thank you.
It was killed in Godzilla 2000, I believe.
Yes. And to all of the people that are watching this after the fact that have left a comment within the past 2 minutes, just be patient.
Malachroma made a comment in the hashtag that the Leviathan's face looks like, and I will never pronounce this, Ichthyosaurus's face.
You just did it.
Is that the correct pronunciation?
If it's
8-year-old Katie remembers things.
If it's not, I'm not going to correct you on it.
So yeah, vaguely dinosaur-ish. Because the sail, it hit me as Spinosaurus more. But, yeah. Dinosaur Chimera Grimm. And chat wants to know what we named it, so...
Penelope. That's what I threw out. If anybody else has any other names, like, feel free to go ahead and put that out there. Penelope is what my knee-jerk reaction was.
See, I came in with Susan, but I prefer Penelope. I think she's a Penelope.
I agree. Penelope strikes me.
My only issue is nicknaming it, because the only way to shorten Penelope is to go peen or pen. And then it's weird.
Well, you have Penny and you have Nella. We've already got Penny.
We can't talk about Penny.
So let's go with Nella.
And then you hit it at does anybody know a Nella?
No.
Nah.
Okay. Well, there you go.
It's your nickname. Now we do.
Now we do.
So yeah, this derpy Grimm is my new favorite thing, and sadly we have now taken out the only thing capable of disarming it. So, cool. Best of luck, Argus! Bye!
But I do love that we have this little thread where she gets a call from her subordinates and ignores it. And it's only when she starts having a temper tantrum and going, everyone converge on my location and wipe them out, that they go, we've been trying to reach you for a while. You were screening our calls. We're all going to die.
She had priorities.
She made a decision and it came back to bite everyone. And this is when we get back to she's smart. She makes some good decisions. But the ego and the temper on her really hobble her as a commanding officer. She shouldn't have broken out the giant robot to begin with. We're looking at a court-martial there. But then ignoring a call from your subordinates, like making these decisions to pursue your personal revenge, because that's what you see this as opposed to doing your duty. Well, yeah. That's how you get Penelope. Do you want Penelope? Because that's how you get Penelope.
Well, do we have any final thoughts on this fight with Cordovan and the subsequent Grimm that is heading towards Argus? Mark, any thoughts?
I think it's safe to say trial by fire. This is the trial by fire that was alluded to that I don't know if this is necessarily what Maria had in mind. Maybe she was thinking like a little beta wolf sort of a situation, but no. this is pretty big. Did anybody was there anything that was flying with Nella, or was it just Nella?
No, we had a host of Grimm.
Yeah.
That was not just one big single target that we are worrying about. The entire city was covered.
Let's see how close they get.
Yeah, and the entire city is now getting harried by, what did we say they were? Chimera and...
Flying Grimm?
I don't know. Manticore. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I believe.
Grimm with wings.
So many cat Grimm with wings. It's like, oh, look at all the flying cats. Oh, dear.
I don't want them any closer.
Sphinx and Manticore.
Ooh.
What we got from the chat.
Okay. Thank you, chat. Stacey, any final thoughts on this showdown?
Well, with Ruby, we go big or we go home.
We're going big. And sometimes we do both. I've just been keeping my eye on Crow this season, honestly, obviously, for those of you who have been here for more than one episode. I do like that after his reality check last episode, we still have him being very concerned, especially for Ruby's safety, but also being willing to let her go and do the thing. Like, he's coming around. It's a process. He's having some issues, but he's coming around. And again, I appreciate that. I appreciate that we're getting to see this development from him.
I think it's more like he's realizing he can't stop her. That's
part of coming around. Some people never get that about their kids or kids in their care or whomever.
Nieces and nephews and all that.
Related chillins.
The second Penelope walked on screen, I'm just hearing in my head Pacific Rim theme and Attack on Titan theme, and this is what we wanted ever since we found out there was a robot, and I'm really happy that's exactly what we're getting. So I'm excited. I'm excited for the finale. So guys, before we move on to our next topic, we want to talk to you guys really quickly about iTunes. Folks, thank you so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate, subscribe, leave a comment. We love hearing from you. It's the best way to let our producers know that you guys like the show that we're putting on. Helps keep the lights on, helps keep us at these desks. And guys, we also like giving you guys a shout out. However, iTunes makes it really difficult these days to do that. Like, it's really difficult to filter through and find the most recent reviews. So something that might help us out is if you guys take a screen cap of it, put in the hashtag RTReviews, not just for people in our international audience, but people in our domestic audience as well, because it makes it a lot easier for us to give you guys those shout-outs. And we do. We want to give you guys shout-outs. So go ahead. Take a screen cap of your comment, put it in the hashtag. It's going to help us out a lot, and we hope to read it out by the time we get to the finale. So,
like this most recent review that we got from Boss Gerald, the review says, "My Wednesday night ritual. Every night of the week, I have something to listen/watch. This is on my Wednesdays. The hosts do an excellent job of covering everything from Rooster Teeth, from jokes to the amazing puns to the widespread predictions. The Rooster team is amazing. Keep up the phenomenal work."
Thank you.
Thanks, y'all.
We love you, too.
That means a lot to us. If you haven't already done so, go to iTunes, rate, subscribe, comment. And guys, if you want even more Rooster Team content, there's a place you can go.
What's that? Are you talking about anchor.fm/TheRoosterTeam, otherwise known as Rooster Team Radio?
What?
We didn't even write this segment. Hi, I'm the Internet's Mark Budonica. Welcome. I'm here to plug our newest thing. If you go to anchor.fm/TheRoosterTeam, and if one of our fabulous mods could... I don't know if they can post that link. Actually, I think Cam, I think you can post that link. Anchor.fm/TheRoosterTeam is where we're putting all of our secondary stuff. And because of the weirdness surrounding Genlock and it being a first-only program, we didn't feel like a Rooster Team Reviews after show on it would be appropriate, because not everybody has access to it. Now, of course, we want everybody to have first. That brings new people in and more money to the network, etc., etc., etc. So as a way to wait a little bit while people are catching up, we have put a Genlock show together, which you can only listen, and we're here, we're an exclusive to an exclusive, but this is free. If you go to anchor.fm/TheRoosterTeam, you can check out the first episode of Gen Lockdown, our Genlock deep dive show. We did an hour and 10 minutes for episode one, so please make sure to check it out. We're trying something new with this. We want to, with how stuffed the Rooster Teeth slate is going to be this year, because we already know Camp Cap's getting 18 episodes, so it's going from June to October. We haven't heard anything about Nomad yet, but we know Red vs. Blue is coming back in March, and Achievement Hunter is coming back soon. Hardcore Tabletop is coming back soon. There's a whole bunch of Bloodfest is dropping on the website pretty bloody soon, which is great. So with all of this stuff, we need to just a little bit more time, and so we ask that you humbly head on over to anchor.fm/TheRoosterTeam. By going to that website, you can also see all of the different podcast networks that you, or the podcast services that you can subscribe on. There's Google, there's Stitcher, there's iTunes, there's what's the Spoofy, Spotify, and there's a lot of other ones as well, but that's also where Welcome to Vale is going to live. Wink! Ooh. That's a big wink there.
There are
four episodes for now, but we're also going to be introducing some new stuff soon. But if you want to hear us talk about Genlock, that's where you go. And if you like the show, tell your friends, because we're trying something new with this, and the best way for us to know that it's working is if you come and support us and share it with your friends. And if you want to spread it, use the hashtag GenLockdown. But aside from that, we have a new shirt on tpublic.com/TheRoosterTeam. It is a Genlock shirt. It is a Katie Cullen original. It says, "I am Genlocked." What is that a reference to? You're probably too young to remember.
I didn't remember
make
it.
Make me feel old, why don't you?
Was that a dig?
A little bit. And the last thing I'll say is we've started a Discord channel where we have discussion threads relating to all of the stuff that we talk about and a little bit more. That link has been in the chat several times already, but I'll post it one more time. By the time I finish talking, I should have enough time to link it again. But thank you to everybody for your support. This Genlock thing, we really want to do well, and we need your help. So please go visit us. anchor.fm/TheRoosterTeam.
Yeah, it means a lot to us when you guys support us in our extracurricular endeavors, particularly Welcome to Vale. I'm excited for what's to come. Guys, it's going to be a good time.
And that Discord is so much fun. You guys have a lot of really good stuff to say there. And if you want a little more interaction with us, we do pop in. We do get involved in that discussion. So we know the live chat is wild and crazy, and the Discord is all we ground.
The analysis in there, the Photoshops that people put in there, they make my heart sing. So keep it up, guys. We love you. Y'all are the best. All right, back to the episode. When last we left our heroes, we found out that hashtag Bumblebee is canon!
We've known.
I know.
I mean, yeah.
It's just nice to be vindicated. Now, Mark, what you're suggesting is that we have, like, sort of low-key centered all of AfterBuzz's branding around one particular ship. Now, someone might say that that's excessive.
But that's none of my business.
Wait.
I already did it.
Also, I'm the only one here with tea, y'all. Anyway.
Well, then you should be doing it. Get on that, true. Megan. Make those memes.
Well, yeah. We have Blake and Yang holding hands against Blake's abuser, Adam. Guys, this is the confrontation that we've been building up for.
But thank you for being so black and white about it. No, no, legitimately.
Yeah.
Just put it
out
there.
He is. He's a... Anybody who tries to apologize for Adam, I'm sorry. This is a place of discussion, and we want a lot of points of view to be valid. You know, we respect your opinion, but he is an abuser. It's pretty unambiguous.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you say he's not, you are factually wrong. That's not an opinion. That's not a discussion. They were in an abusive relationship. He abused her. There's no gray area there. That's what it is. Textbook abuser dialogue from him
to the very end.
Oh yeah.
he even though what we see now that he's taken off the blindfold, we see, you know, we talked about this last week. It's humanized him. It does not in any way, shape, or form, you know, exonerate him from the terrible things he's done.
He, no.
he was a victim of abuse and then became an abuser himself because the world made him feel small. So the only way he could feel important was by making other people feel small.
Yeah, I go back to this line a lot, but cool motive, still murder.
So we talk about how everybody's we appreciate everybody's opinions and they're valid. And as somebody who's I say this even though we technically write fan fiction, but there are certain fan fictions out there that present the what people wanted out of the story, and that's fine. Enjoy that.
Yeah.
But to go after the writing team or the crew or whomever in a lame attempt to change what has happened, this is the story. This is Ruby. And this you have to deal with that. And I'm sorry if this feels like I'm calling out somebody specifically on our Discord, but they brought up that people aren't a fan of how Adam went out. And to me, I'm just going to say it. That's bullshit. When you are a shit of a person and a waste of space that Adam Torres was, you don't get a heroic death.
No.
He died just as he lived. No fanfare, no nothing. It's similar to when we have terrible attacks in the United States and the news channels feel the need to talk about these terrible people and try to get into their mind. We've gotten into Adam Torres's mind. He's a piece of shit and he died like a piece of shit. That's what I wanted to say. Like the piece of shit he is.
Malachroma. Someone drop a mic for that, Mark Donico. Woo!
Malachroma sums it up, I think, very nicely in chat. You're allowed to like and sympathize with shitty characters without pretending like they aren't canonically shitty. Yes! You can enjoy villains. You can appreciate villains as characters. But the second you sit there and go, he's my precious boy and did no wrong, Don't do it.
I kind of have to reiterate Mark's sentiment. If you want to go after the creators or writers or even voice actors, you know, who have nothing to do with how the story plays out because your ship didn't happen, Voltron fandom, I'm looking in your direction. Don't be that guy. It's not simple.
And on top of that, we've heard from Carrie that he's dead. He was stabbed.
Yes!
He was stabbed twice and pretty sure broke his neck on the way down. However,
and then water.
However, despite Pyrrha being turned into dust, people are still like, oh, she's alive somewhere.
She's fine.
In our hearts, maybe, but aside from that.
And this is a fictional
world.
In
the world of Chibi.
This is a fictional world of their writing and their creation. While I think it fits the story here to leave Adam dead and buried, it's entirely possible that he could come back. Will it be strong? Probably not. They could figure something out. But if this is where this... We're even though the volume is technically over and we're not talking about the finale, and this is a contained story, we don't know how Adam as a character fits into the entire story until we get to the end. Mm-hmm. So, fucking chill! Jesus Christ!
The point that I like to bring up, we saw SDC on his face. We saw Shinee Dust Company. And we're heading to Atlas. Adam's role in the story is over. The story of the Faunus is still going on. And Adam was never a good representation for them anyway. I mean, he went back and slaughtered a bunch of people in the White Fang when they criticized him for screwing up, which, legit, fair. When you screw up, you should maybe get some feedback, but he killed his leader, tried to do a murder on Blake's parents, and then went back and slaughtered everyone who criticized him. He was never in this for Faunus rights. It was a very convenient vehicle. He's in this for revenge, for himself. And everything else is just gravy.
And we've got... And now everybody's shouting in chat, which I apologize. But I appreciate what's being said. Malachroma, Woobify whatever villains you want. I don't give a f-, but your headcanon has no power over them. But don't act like the writers are in control and are in the wrong for writing their villains like villains.
Can we get the air horns? Do we have air horns on that soundboard?
He's a villain. He's a fucking villain. And I know we usually keep the language level at what the show is, but this is very important.
It's okay to woobify villains. Like, I do that with my horror movie icons all the time. It's
and
okay.
So do major brands. There's an amazing horror, like, Universal Monsters line at the theme parks. Yeah, it's really cool. But they're still terrible creatures.
Yeah, like, and I love Reaper from Overwatch. I'm not going to pretend like he's a good person. Like, it's one of those things where you have to separate your feelings on a character from what they actually do within the realm of the world that they inhabit.
And I want to bring up what Nolan Void said in chat. Adam was given the chance to willingly leave, and he refused to.
Pay attention to me! And Nicholas Kelly, wonderful idea. So what happened to Wilton Blush, Adam's sword? She didn't deserve to be thrown off the cliffside. What did the sword do to get this kind of judgment? I mean, Blake can grab it and mix the remnants with Gamble Shroud. And that would take the abuse and turn it into a weapon that she can use to empower and help, as opposed to continue the cycle of abuse.
I like that.
That's a really cool theory. Because it's gone, I don't think, but I would like it if they did something like that.
I think it'd be interesting if it got picked up by another villain. Like, we don't know where Cinder and Neo are at right now. Like, I could totally see them, like, on the heels of Team Ruby, like, picking up the thing and going, oh, hey! Guess he's dead. Guess he won't be needing this anymore.
Yeah, I still like to think of them, like, finding the body washed up somewhere, going, huh.
No, the sword. I would like to see even the villains go, good, fuck that guy.
Oh, look at him. He died like he lived, like trash. And then Neo just kind of...
Well, something we're sort of...
Kanye shrugs it out.
Something we're sort of skipping over in this whole sequence, because we love how much Adam is... Don't dead.
How dead he is.
we love how dead he is.
Do whatever you want. He's super dead.
But something we're not really discussing right now, which I think we should before we wrap up, is the fact that, you know, it's Yang and Blake working together to take him down, which means both of them having to confront their personal trauma. That moment where Yang finally decides to use her semblance gave me chills. Like, she didn't, you know, she didn't rely on it like a crutch. She did exactly what her father taught her to do and waited. She waited for the opportune moment, and that moment she grabbed it with her robot hand and said, gotcha. Oh my god!
And this is the first time. This is the first time we've gotten to see her semblance in this new engine. Oh my god, it's amazing. Just that animation when she looked up and delivered that line was just screaming. So much screaming.
I think we saw it in the character short from last season, but...
Yeah, the flashback short?
Yeah, but...
I thought so.
But, like, again, it was utilized perfectly here. Stacey, what did you think of, you know, we send Adam on his merry way down the River Styx, and we have this moment between Yang and Blake, where everything just finally settles.
So one of the best thing about how they handled this situation, or how they reacted to this situation, because a lot of this was Adam pushing onto them and they had to react to it. The fact that the fear was present, we didn't ignore the fact that they were afraid and were strong enough to move past that and to come together in that moment and kind of both take a little bit of this horrible weight that, I mean, you know, neither of them wanted this, especially Blake would not have wanted this, but how necessary it was. I mean, when you're left without a choice,
he wasn't gonna stop.
I mean, it was very clear in that moment that one of them was going to pick up that sword, and if it had been Adam, they would be dead. So to see them make that choice, and now then even in those few moments right afterwards where we start dealing with that choice, and I think seeing Blake break down like that and just fall to her knees, just being upset, A, that she did something like that, and B, that it was Adam.
Yeah.
I mean, someone that, despite it being a horrific, abusive past, there's still an attachment there. And that's never how you want something like that to end when you get down to it.
Yeah. But, like, he left them no other alternative. And yeah, it's just a beautiful moment where they're embracing each other, you know, because much like we were alluding to earlier this season, you know, we don't want one protecting the other like that. That whole little bit of drama, we were like, no, you need to protect each other, and which is exactly what we got at the end of the last episode. And you can see that that's what they're going to continue to do until the bitter end. So I think that just about does it as far as the episode goes. Do we have any final thoughts on the episode before we move into some really quick rapid fire predictions?
This was so cathartic. In more ways than one. For one, seeing him go down, and for another, watching them reassure each other that, no, I'm not going anywhere. No, I'm not going to break my promise. I'm here for you. You're here for me. Just like, oh, my heart. These are the things that I love so much.
And I want to thank Sen Stevens for bringing it back to lightness. There will be a fisherman somewhere that will have a weird ass haul, a motorcycle, a sword, and a giant piece of shit.
What a weird haul.
I can sell that.
Back into fishing. The water
there
goes.
And just making his way down the shore.
Return into the earth.
I'm going to eat him.
Catch and release.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and dig into some really quick rapid fire predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Woo! I'm with Mark. Trial by fire.
Mm-hmm. Stacey. We're going to get a big battle.
Mark?
I mean, one of the things that Ruby usually, the show Ruby usually does is it sets everything up to where we know how stuff's going to end. Like, they set up the final episode to be further cathartic. So I'm interested to see how much of the next episode is going to be the battle and how much of it is going to be passion after the battle.
I think this next episode is going to subvert our expectations entirely, and they're going to befriend the Grimm. And,
and so, he'll take them to Atlas on his back.
So is Ruby's trial by fire, instead of a fatality, it's going to be a friendship?
Yes! They're going to pull a Steven Universe and just make friends with the person trying to kill them.
Careful what you say. It's still very early.
I got your Mortal Kombat. I got you.
Anyway, guys, thank you so much for tuning in and joining us this week. We'll be talking about the finale next week. And then we're also going to be doing a season recap of Ruby Volume 6 the week after that. So be sure to stay tuned over the coming weeks. Katie, where can people go if they want to find you?
You can follow me all over the social medias, as well as on YouTube and Twitch at KiaJet. That is KiaXet. If you like reaction videos to that, they are living on that YouTube channel. I may or may not pull together a compilation of reactions to Kingdom Hearts 3, but there's not going to be anything formal for that. So, yeah, follow those channels. Keep an eye out. I am also on an Overwatch League podcast called On the Point.
Stacey, I'm Stacey Shuttles. You can find me all over the web at Stacey Shuttles. You can also find me at Nerds Making Stuff, where I'll be posting some of my jewelry creations. A lot of fandom stuff, too.
I'm the internet's Mark B. Donick. You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donick. You can find all of us at anchor.fm/theroosterteam. If you want to hear our Genlock show, that's where it's going to live, as well as a couple of other things that we're going to be sprinkling in over the next couple of weeks. Follow the team at twitter.com/theroosterteam. We are on TeePublic, tpublic.com/theroosterteam. We have a Genlock design. We have some Ruby designs. We have a Welcome to Vale design. We have a couple of other fun little fandom ones. So please check it out. Support the show.
And I'm Megan Selene. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I also do a Lost retrospective podcast called No Love Lost. So be sure to check that out. It's a lot of fun. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. And remember,
Dust you later.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.